Hello, everyone. Mystic Chick here. It's about that time to grab your strawberry rhubarb fizz, spring rose cocktail, or a watermelon mojito popsicle, and get settled into a big, puffy cloud of positive energy to contemplate another morsel of mystic goodness. So tonight's episode is all about rituals around the spring equinox. Do you want to make things happen in your life? Are you looking to reinvent yourself? Do you just need an energy reboot after a dreary winter? We'll be delving into spring equinox rituals to manifest more of what you want in your life, love, money, success, and more. A lot of things to talk about tonight. I know Virgo Lass is going to be very excited to discuss tonight's topic. It is a good time. Hello, Virgo Lass.
Hello, Mystic Chick.
Still gets me. Okay, so a couple things. First of all, the cocktails I listed for tonight's episode are on the dashofwellness.com website, Thirsty Thursday 8 Cocktails for the Vernal Equinox. So if anybody is curious, there is a list of 8. Some are more extreme than others. What are you drinking tonight, Virgo Lass?
I am back to whiskey in my LaCroix. Last week it was warm out and I was like, everybody, I'm switching to gin. It's summertime. Because that's my summer hard liquor. But no, now fake spring is over and we're back to our regularly scheduled Chicago winter. So it's back to whiskey, dark, savory whiskey.
Ah, yes. I was wondering, I'm like, oh, there's snow outside. I'm drinking a nice deep red wine. Actually, this is a shout out to Yellowtail wine. Cost effective and tasty.
Very true.
And Australian, because, you know, I love those Australian grapes. But it is the Shiraz Cabernet. And I don't know. I looked it up because I'm like, some people say Syrah, some people say Shiraz, some people say Syrah, which I don't even know if that's a thing or if people are just like making things up now.
Okay, Shiraz.
That's pretty much how I'm feeling right now. So that the Yellowtail, and then also because I don't have LaCroix, it depends on what grocery store I am venturing into for the week, because I have to make, you know, the rounds with all like the food allergies and the household and whatnot. But this one was from Fresh Thyme Farmers Market, and it is a pink grapefruit flavored sparkling water. So
Ooh. There's
that. Tastes a lot like LaCroix.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sure that they're probably all made in like the same warehouse. The same sparkling water plant.
It's very industrial and commercial because that's the way I like my water. I want to see like rusty pipes.
I see rusty pipes floating in it.
I want to like drive past the facility and see some guy like on his cigarette break, like bending over to scratch his shoe and like, you know, all that jazz.
That's how you know it's made properly.
The seal of approval. So anyways, this is going to be like a really interesting episode because we were kind of like, this is the week of our theme week. This is since we've gone to our weekly format, the theme for the third week. Are we on the third week?
I think we are. Yeah.
Is that, or the second week?
Or maybe it's the second week. I'm pretty sure it's the third week.
We're losing time. Oh, because it's such a long month, the March.
Yeah. Stupid March weather.
I'm just like, just keep torturing us. So anyways, the theme for this week is manifesting. And so it was like perfect timing to kind of discuss the spring equinox or vernal equinox, if you will, which is happening on March 20th. So we're actually like getting a jump start on it. So anything you hear tonight, you might be able to put into practice before the equinox.
That's so right.
Yes.
Ahead of the game.
Not to delve into any rabbit holes, no pun intended. But we talked about not only spring equinox rituals, but also kind of celebrating Ostara. And then I started looking into it because I know that there are a lot of maybe, I don't know, is it more Wiccan? Is it more pagan? Does it kind of cross borders? Do you, what do you feel about this?
Oh, judging from some of the reading material you sent, like it does feel like it kind of crosses borders there.
But okay, so here's the deal. And I'm kind of a purist, so I'm going to stick more with kind of vernal equinox rituals. And I would love if people kind of reached out either during the show or after the show and kind of if they felt a different way or if they really were kind of like gung-ho Ostara. I'm totally happy to hear about it. But when I was like looking into it, I'm like, oh, it was kind of recent. It was like the first mention of it was like 1875. And there was no, like they did all this research. I was looking at the Library of Congress blog post or something, and they were doing all this.
Right. Research. So this is like librarian research, you guys.
this is hardcore.
That's like the only research that matters.
True. And so they were the guy that wrote it was like, I think he'd been on CBS or someplace talking about Easter or Easter rituals or something like that. And so he was prepping for that or it was around that time. And it was interesting that he couldn't really find anything. There were like no mentions of like, because there's this, you know, the goddess, the Germanic goddess or whatever, but like no links to like rabbits, all that stuff for like years and years and years and years until like the late 1800s. So that's a whole to do. There's a whole article on it. I feel like if I posted the link, it might be inflammatory.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, I mean, obviously, like spring rituals have been a thing ever since that there was spring. Like we've always been happy about like, oh, thank God the snow is melting. Things are growing again. We're going to make it after all. And yeah, like, you know, like baby rabbits and baby chicks, like, yeah, like they are in abundance. And so I just feel like all of that just, it kind of makes sense. So it's probably just some old traditions that have crossed over through many, many, many different cultures, whatever cultures had bunnies and chicks around them.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it was like, there was some mention about it being a Christian, like the first mention of it was in some sort of Christian vein. So, I mean, it's just kind of interesting how some of this comes about. I mean, you think about even Christmas traditions and they were kind of Christian based, like pagan meets Christian.
Yeah. I mean, we all know how that happened.
But I mean, I think that this is the same kind of concept where we have like a new a time of the year that, you know, because the Christmas stuff is actually really more about the winter solstice. And I think putting it past the winter solstice a few days, you know, their way of like Christianity's way of saying, no, this is a totally different thing.
Yeah, exactly. Because there is no way that Jesus was a Capricorn.
Jesus was a Pisces. Look it up. That's why I was kind of like a little reticent to kind of share this research because I didn't want to upset anybody. I mean, if you have beliefs, if you're a practicing pagan or Wiccan and you always celebrate Ostara and it's very meaningful to you, you know, I am definitely supportive of that. I think that there are a lot of traditions, both new and old, that people embrace. And if they are meaningful and they are in line with their kind of beliefs, then it's a wonderful thing to be able to practice them. I just thought it was kind of interesting that I guess I had some misconceptions around Ostara. Like I thought it was thousands of years old or at least hundreds of years old. And it's not quite like that.
also kind of sounded like she was maybe like a lesser known German goddess. And I think the article said that her first mention was maybe like, not necessarily a Grimm's fairy tale, but something that, you know, the Grimm brothers wrote. So they could have been responsible for that too. But I mean, as those of us who are Neil Gaiman fans know, that it doesn't really matter as long as you believe in them, because that is where gods and goddesses gain their strength.
That is very, very true.
Ostara became a prominent goddess, whether it was ancient years ago or like through German culture or just eventually through like... just through like bunnies and chicks and Easter bunny and all of that. Like somehow she made her way and we respect her for it.
Well, and I think also like it could also be a situation like the runes, where it was such an oral tradition for so long that by the time
they
started writing it down, it was way, way later. And then, you know, and things had already kind of evolved in a different way. Because they do kind of say that she's a shadowy figure in Germanic folklore, and that she was an Anglo-Saxon goddess who's not documented from pagan sources at all, and turns up in only one Christian source. But if everybody was kind of doing the oral traditions, then that would kind of make sense that she could have actually been around a really long time, but they just, nobody wrote anything down in some cultures. So there you go. All right. Anyways, I felt like I had to kind of delve into that right away. I think I need a drink now.
It is happy hour.
It is happy hour. Good times. Anyways, okay. So the great thing about the equinox, and we kind of talked about it last week with the feng shui episode, but an equinox detox is kind of
equinox detox. I just like saying it.
It's about detoxing all kind of the darkness that's been kind of just like settling in your life and your body and everything else, and living lighter. And so we have a whole list of things. So many things.
I feel like this spring equinox too is also coming at a strange time in our lives, because it's a full year starting today for some of us that the pandemic really hit for like, you know, American culture anyway. And so like this year, like people are getting vaccinated, people are like, the numbers are going down in certain areas. Like, I think that we're finally like maybe poking our head, our little masked faces out into the light a little bit, and maybe like getting like a glimmer of hope again after a very dark, dark year. So these rituals, I think, are going to carry on like just a special significance, because we are just sort of stepping out into the light again.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. We're all like, you know, the groundhog kind of blinking out, you know, do we see our shadow? I don't know. It's been so long. I've been stuck in this hole or cave or whatever.
Is it following me? Where'd it go?
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a time to kind of think about new beginnings, new growth, and all the things that it, and this is kind of like putting into practice all the things that you've been working on from the winter solstice on, kind of, you know, that was the time to go inward and to be dreamy and to, you know, think about what's working for you, what's not working for you, start thinking about what you want to do moving forward. And now with the equinox hitting, it's time to actually like hone in on those goals and start putting them into practice.
Yeah, because now it feels like we actually are making some headway with being able to like do, like put something into practice. Like, we're not all just hiding in our houses anymore. I mean, some of us are for like the next foreseeable future, but but spring's a coming. Spring. And that's the point of all of this.
Yeah, this is not the time to lose hope.
Exactly. I mean, even if like we're not going to be going to an indoor restaurant or an indoor movie theater or a festival anytime soon, I mean, we will at least have a chance to do some outdoor things again. For those of you, for those of us who live in very cold climates.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like maybe some of you live in the South and you're just like, what are you talking about? I've been outdoors all this time.
Yeah, really.
What spring?
I was also thinking about, you know, if you're on the other side of the world, is this like fall?
Yeah, that's right. They have to start doing their fall rituals.
Yeah. So I guess this really kind of depends. But I mean, yeah, I don't know if you could flip these. If you're on the other side of the world, you might need to. We have a fall episode. You might want to scroll back.
Yeah, circle back.
But anyway, so this is a time, especially if you are working on kind of launching a business or a product or something that you've been kind of like thinking about for a long time or putting a little bit of work into here and there, like this is a great time to really start moving forward on that. And also people who are looking to get pregnant or have been trying to get pregnant and haven't been able to, the spring equinox is a great way to get in touch with Mother Earth and all the goddesses and just kind of get that extra goddess energy to kind of give you an extra boost.
And if that doesn't work, go listen to our sex episodes.
Yeah. There's a lot there. So are there any things that you do around the spring equinox, any rituals that kind of are meaningful for you?
I'm really, really bad at rituals in general, but I am trying to get better at them. Last year, I felt like spring was meaningful for me in a different way because I was at home. Like, my job was closed down from like just now until the beginning of June. So it was like a little over 2 months of basically just being at home. And so I would go for a walk every single day. And that's really not something that like I would do normally other than like walking from my home to the train station and being like, ah, it's cold. Oh God, there's a train. Oh God, no, we went away. So, I mean, that's usually where my head is at. And I went every single day and I really like, I feel like for the very first time, watched the season just change, you know, like just passing by the same trees every day and seeing how it would bloom and like just seeing all of the flowers like pushing up and seeing like, you know, the very early spring flowers like slowly turning into the early summer flowers. And I was like taking a lot of pictures and posting them on my Instagram. And so it actually made the entire season feel a lot more special, like because I was inside all of the time, suddenly being outside became a much bigger deal in a way that it never had, like for my entire life.
True. Well, and I mean, it was like the only way to interact with anybody. I don't know. It's just been a very weird time.
Yeah, and that wasn't even interacting with anybody. If I saw somebody coming, I went crossed over to the other side of the street. We weren't even wearing masks yet back then.
Yeah, just thinking about how everything evolved, it was like first everybody was more worried about sanitizing surfaces. And it's like, I don't know, this whole thing, this whole year, we could have just scrapbooked and made a book out of this pandemic lockdown.
No kidding. I actually just saw like somebody posted a meme or like tweeted a Twitter or whatever about how now they understand why nobody like wrote or like made any art like regarding the 1918 pandemic, because they don't want to see anything about it ever. Like, don't make any movies about it. Don't write any books about it. I'm just going to let this pass and pretend it never happened.
Never happened. Oh my goodness. Yeah. What was I, there was something about, oh my goodness, it was something from the fall, Veterans Day. because I was teaching kindergarten library classes. I was like, let's, you know, talk about Veterans Day. And then I learned that it was like around the time of the pandemic and they were celebrating all the veterans coming home, but it was horrible. And like, they were not supposed to be gathering in large groups. And there was like this whole to-do back then about it, kind of like how some of our large group things have happened in the last year. And so I didn't know that. Like, you know, you see the pictures.
None of us did. I never knew about this, about the 1918 pandemic until just recently people started talking about it. I mean, every single book that we ever read, every single history class, didn't even learn about it in history class. Like everything was, and then the soldiers came home and everybody was happy. Nobody said that people were dying of a virus, like the same flu virus we get every single year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It makes me like feel really, I used to feel confident about my historical knowledge. And after all this, I'm like, how much history do I actually really know? Like,
oh man. Yeah. Like between that and everything else that went down this year, it's like, oh no, like our history of knowledge is just like at like a minimum, like the bare minimum.
I want to give a shout out to Dan from Dan's Miscellaneous Ramblings who entered the our little chat today. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
If you have any questions about spring equinox rituals or Ostara, yeah, feel free.
Or if you want to talk to us about your history class.
Yes, we would love to hear some of your history experiences. All right, so spring equinox rituals, and I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seemed when I was going through all this stuff, and I was kind of like, it's an amalgamation of my particular rituals that I kind of do every year and things that were recommended and just kind of, I don't know, things that kind of struck me at the time. But some of this is really similar to winter solstice rituals. And I was kind of like, really? Come on. Let's think outside the box a little bit more.
Right.
So I tried. We'll have to see if I was able to do it. But so the first thing is, you know, you're creating an altar. Whatever that means to you for the spring. And I think it, again, depends on, you know, if you're more Wiccan or pagan or if you're more just kind of secular, whatever, you know, flavor you are, your altar may look a little bit different. But just, you know, taking out the pine boughs and putting on some daisies, like just the happy springy things, which we're going to talk about, but kind of, you know, changing out your space and setting a place to be able to honor nature and honor the light within yourself. And we're going to kind of touch on some different things you can add to your altar. So one of the things that I came across on YouTube, actually, and I think it was the Green Witch, I think. I'll put a link to it on the show page when I upload this episode. But it's called Sprouting Your Desires Spell. And it's for Ostara. And I thought it was actually just a really sweet little thing to do for manifesting basically anything you want to grow in your life, whether that's a project, a business, a person, love, money, you name it. You can do it with the spell because all you need is an egg and some seeds and some dirt. And if you're really committed, moon water.
For those of you who don't know, like the way that you make moon water is at the full moon, you leave out a pitcher of water like on your windowsill. Like the light of the full moon gets absorbed into it, even if you live in the city and you never even see the moon. This is where the faith comes in. You have faith that the moon's lights absorb into that water. And then you have something that you can use it to cleanse your apartment. You can drink tea from it. You can put in your bath water. It's basically like something that gives your magic a boost. I haven't done this yet because I'm lazy, but I do, I do charge my crystals and my tarot cards underneath, like the new moon for cleansing and the full moon for charging.
You're so dedicated. And that's the other thing. Like, I think that it's also about comfort levels, like, you know, how often you charge things or cleanse things or whatever. Some people are kind of like vigilant about doing it every month. And some people, you know, just kind of wait till they feel the energy feels a little bit funky. But the Sprouting Your Desires spell, it looked pretty fun. You know, you just take an egg and you crack it and you get the egg part out. The yolk and the white and whatnot, the innards, the stuff that you could actually eat. You could, like, you know, plant it around breakfast and then keep the eggshell, but like you want, like, you know, to just take off the little tippity top, and you're going to put dirt in it and you're going to put some seeds, and you're kind of like sowing intentions with the seeds. And so you kind of meditate with the seeds before you put them in the dirt. And it's just kind of like, what do you want to manifest? What do you want to have in your life? And you kind of have this vision in your mind, and then you envision the seeds kind of like taking in that vision, like however you want to do it, whether you want to like pour it in, like, you know, a pitcher of water is kind of pouring into the seeds your intentions, or if you want to, you know, do it some other way. And then you kind of, you know, you're going to plant it, but you, there's different techniques. And that's why I think the YouTube video is interesting, because if you are going to kind of do the blessings with the elements and that, you can do that part of it as well. Or, you know, if you're a little, if you don't do that, you can still manifest things with the spell. There's alternate versions. So definitely worth checking out. I think it's a good place to start for people who just want a little bit of equinox ritual in their equinox festivities.
Oh, another thing that I did last year that I'm going to repeat this year is I did kind of dabble into growing green things that live. So, you know, again, I think that having plants was very much a pandemic thing, along with like getting a sourdough starter and making bread, which I did also did. But like, I have always been really, really bad at growing things. I've killed basil multiple times, but I got these little hydroponic kits from this little business. I'm going to give a shout out right now, Coco and Seed. And they send you like these little mason jars, and you fill them with water, and you put the little seeds in like the little pod, and then like it basically just waters itself. And it was the first thing I ever successfully grew. Like, I grew them until then it got cold out, and then they died. But now that, but I think that part of my spring rituals for this year is I'm going to get a bunch more and actually be able to kind of watch that garden grow like all year. So I'm excited about that.
That is pretty cool. I will have to get updates on your hydroponic experience.
Oh, try and stop. Well, see, your Instagram is all messed up. So I'm going to have to send my pictures to the old fashioned way. Maybe I'll upload them on Twitter.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't even want to talk about Instagram. I'm like, it just, oh, the shame. I will get it sorted. I need a new everything phone. All right. So, going back to kind of our list of rituals and things you can do and try, you know, you touched on the seeds and planting, and also, you know, you could just get a new house plant and start nurturing that with intention, but just kind of some way to bring in some new life into your place. If you're really worried about having something that you have to take care of, I think bamboo is one of the things you really can't mess up. So it might be a good place to start with some bamboo. It's usually pretty cheap. You can find it at any home improvement store or whatever. So that's something to think about. The other thing is there's just a lot of like weird things that are all kind of, they're like the opposite of the winter solstice one. So we have, you know, do the deep clean to get the stagnant winter chi out, as opposed to the stagnant fall chi. Whatever that is, get that broom out.
Exactly. I mean, okay, yeah. Like, this is spring cleaning kind of year.
Ugh, yeah. I feel like we're constantly just cleaning. Like,
I know. There's so much cleaning involved.
The more you're home, or maybe everybody just, like, stuck at home, they're making more messes. I think I've seen that come across a lot of different magazine articles and blog posts, like, how to manage the, you know, stay at home, whatever. And it's like, I don't know. I you do what you can, you know, I mean, you just pick up as you go. But so aside from getting the stagnant winter chi out in a bunch of different ways, I mean, you've got the sweeping, which is apparently big with what? Wiccans? Were we talking about that with the winter solstice?
I mean, like, Wiccans and witchcraft in general, like, I mean, there's always, like, there are metaphysical stores that will actually sell brooms. And it's not like a broom that you use for, like, sweeping up dirt. It's the broom you use for sweeping up energy. And you sweep the energy around you before you do your rituals.
Is that a small broom? Or is that just a regular size broom?
I'm not entirely sure, but I think that it's probably, like, a little small broom.
Because I've seen, I think I have a small broom. It's a very tiny broom. So it's probably for that. But yeah, I mean, having a very large broom would probably not make very much sense all the time. Just kind of like propped up in your space. It just, yeah. Okay. So anyways, the cleaning. And so then, you know, you have, besides the sweeping, I feel like an advertisement for cleaning. You have the wiping.
The cleaning, the wiping.
The dusting. Basically all of that.
The bigger picker-upper.
do more of that. Get the magic eraser out. Get the Mr. Clean. Mr. Clean will come to your house.
And I know that, like, I think that the big thing about spring cleaning is that first time you're able to, like, open up your windows and it's amazing, and then you immediately start sneezing because all of, like, the winter grime that's been stuck on the screens just starts blowing in along with the springtime pollen. Good times.
And then you open everything up, and then a week later you're freezing your tail off again, and you're like, why did I do that? It's not spring yet. Mm-hmm. So then we have, this is one that it is kind of like a reverse of the winter solstice thing, where we were kind of talking about eating the heavier foods, eating the root vegetables, things that will ground you. You need to ground yourself during the winter solstice and kind of go inward and anchor and all that. But like spring, we're eating lighter things, the spring fruits and veggies, lots of salads, lots of just lighter fare. And some of the popular fruits and veggies, at least in our neck of the woods, like, I'm going to say kind of on a U.S. basis. I don't know for certain if I can, because it came out in Women's Health magazine. So I'm assuming this at least covers the US. But artichokes, beets, no, not beets, radishes. Artichokes, radishes.
What's that to say?
Yeah, beets are totally wrong. Wrong season, beets. Where am I going with this? And blood oranges.
Ooh,
or
yum.
Cava-cavas. So those are the things.
I just have to throw a shout out. If anybody else wants to try this one time, okay, every summer, except for last, sigh, my friends and I do this thing called Sangriathon, where we go to the beach and we all bring sangria and we drink all day, and it's magical. But this one year, my husband took a bunch of blood oranges in the springtime and he juiced them, and then he froze the juice. And then in the summertime, when they're not in season anymore, he made blood orange sangria.
Oh, that sounds good.
It was amazing.
What type of wine do you put with blood orange?
Like a white wine.
Okay. Very nice. What type of white wine? There's a lot of white wines.
Usually for sangria, you want something on the sweeter end because it's gonna, like, basically be like a juice anyway. So it's like usually a Riesling? Like a Riesling.
Okay. I learn something new every day.
I've learned a lot about making sangria over the year, over the years of the Sangriathon, which hopefully we can do again this year.
I was actually going to bring up sangria, but I feel like that, yeah, that's more a summery thing, isn't
sangria
it?
Sangria is definitely more of a summer thing.
Okay.
So I'm sure maybe you could like make a springtime sangria. I mean, why not? It's sangria o'clock somewhere.
I feel like a springtime sangria though would dangerously border on like baby shower drinks.
Ooh, you're right. Maybe not.
Which go ahead and have a ton of, because you know, spring equinox celebration. Fertility. Go fertility.
Go fertility. Except for me.
Fertility of lots of things, but yeah, that too. But
so I feel like that's another reason why like I don't always have a lot of spring rituals or rituals in general, is because I don't have kids, and that's usually what you do when you have kids. Like normally my springtime rituals is that I get to put on like cuter clothes and go to the bar.
A lighter jacket. The open-toed shoes. Oh my God, I miss it so much. Okay.
We got to manifest it back.
We are. We're going to. That's part of my spring ritual. Warmer weather.
Yes. Warmer weather, open bars.
Oh my gosh.
But, open bars, open-toed shoes.
You bring up a good point though, with the, because there's two sides to the whole spring Easter kind of ritual coin. You have the rituals for someone who doesn't have kids, who wants to have kids and either hasn't started trying or has been trying and has gotten frustrated. Or alternatively, you have the people who already have kids who are like running around in fields collecting all the plastic Easter eggs and driving themselves insane when everybody eats too much candy and cries. Yeah, I
good
think
times.
The fertility ones are way more fun than the kids running around eating too much candy ones. But, and I'm kind of like, I was having a slight heart attack moment because I'm like, okay, the spring equinox is March 20th. When is Easter? That's not March 20th, right? Because
no, it bounces around all the time. When is Easter? I'm looking this up right now.
Thank you. Because I'm like, I don't want to let anyone down, but I am not prepared.
Oh, April 4th.
Oh, whew. Okay. So, but if you are kind of looking to get pregnant, this is a wonderful time to do some, especially like meditative work, because fertility is a very inward going process. It's about really getting in touch with your body and yourself and your cycles and the goddess energy. And so there's some meditations you can even look up on YouTube. Just look up fertility meditations, and they have ones that, you know, are several minutes long, an hour long. Like you can really tailor it to your situation. Also like renewal meditations. So anybody who's just kind of like feeling in a funk, if you've been struggling with health issues, especially like as a woman, if you've had issues with your cycle in any way, and you kind of need a jumpstart to kind of get yourself back on track, renewal meditations are great. But anybody who's been going through any like ongoing health struggles, a renewal meditation would benefit you. And you can definitely check those out on YouTube as well. Additionally, you know, like the Calm app or Insight Timer app, or if somebody has a Headspace subscription or things like that, you could probably search them out on apps like that. So there's that.
So there's that. Healthy meditations.
Wait, what?
Healthy meditations. Yeah. Sorry, I'm like over here like, I've never had to get pregnant. I'm just chilling over here with a cocktail.
But renewal meditations, have you had any like health issues that you've had to struggle with on an ongoing basis, or have you been like pretty calm in that sector?
Actually, no, now that I think about it, I think that, you know, we've talked about this privately before, but there is like one point, like however many years ago, where I was on a birth control that was terrible and did terrible things to my body and my brain. And so, yeah, so finally coming off of it, like I actually wish I had known about like renewal of meditations, or was doing meditations in general back then, because I think that it would have been extremely helpful, but I didn't. So I just went to my doctor, and she actually was very good about like prescribing me like a bunch of like vitamins and herbs and things like that to take. So I was able to just kind of like get my body back to where it should be, and it felt much more like myself again afterwards.
Yeah. So much going on with the body. But, you know, anything you could do to kind of help it out. But I think you also bring up a good point. Like, this is a good time to reevaluate the supplements you take, because sometimes those can change seasonally depending on your needs. You know, somebody who struggles with seasonal affective disorder may be taking different supplements. And now that we're getting more light, that might change. So any other things? And that kind of also goes into one of the other things that I'd made a note at the bottom for changing up like any skincare routines, makeup routines, that sort of thing. It's a good time to switch those things out, go for a little bit lighter stuff as the weather gets warmer.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I work at a spa, so like that's definitely my thing. Like, yeah, going much lighter on your moisturizer. You can like, you know, kind of put away the super heavy moisturizers, and you should be wearing your SPF all year round. But I know that most of you aren't. So now is a good time to go out and get your SPF.
Well, and don't they say you should be wearing it inside the house as well? And it's like, but nobody, like everybody thinks like, oh, I only put it on when I'm going to the beach, or I'm only going to put it on when I go outside. And it's like, no, you can still get rays from inside the house.
But yeah, like if you're by a window, I mean, if you live in like some dark little place, I don't think that I would worry about it too hard. But like, one of my clients was just saying how she like lives in a high rise and it's like all windows all around her. So it's like, yeah, you gotta wear your SPF for that. Or even if you work in an office and you're right next to a window all day, put on some sunscreen.
Now, I know the Women's Health magazine this month has been extremely informative. But they had a whole article on like exfoliation and stuff like that. But do you, aside from like exfoliating, are there any things that, you know, either we should be putting away aside from the heavy moisturizers, or pulling out, or like doing self-care wise as far as, you know, going into the spring and summer?
Okay, as far as like skincare goes, I mean, exfoliation, it's easier to get a little bit more heavy with that in the winter, because again, like you're not as exposed to the sun. If you're somebody where you've got like a medicine cabinet full of like alpha hydroxies and like glycolic acids and all sorts of stuff, I mean, don't stop using them, but definitely ease up on them and just use them at night so that your skin can renew overnight, and then put on your sunscreen in the morning, or else you are going to end up with a nasty burn or like a face full of hyperpigmentation because you're sensitizing your skin so much.
Oh, like the stuff with the retinols in it and stuff?
Yeah. And those things are good to use. You know, you want cell turnover, but people go at them a lot harder than they need to.
Let's really attack that skin.
Exactly. I mean, because when you do use them, like you wake up the next day and your face feels like a baby and you're like, I want this all the time. But I mean, you have to like let those cells turn over a little bit before you use it again. You know, like, I mean, 3 times a week is usually the charm.
Yeah. Give your body a chance to recover.
Yeah.
And I know that we kind of are in slightly different camps as far as skincare, and, you know, we both have some definite reason, like legitimate reasons. I think like for me, I've been trying to keep a lot of like chemicals out of my products because I have like really sensitive skin.
And that is impossible to do because everything is a chemical, even water.
I know. And so it's like, if I guess I try to just like look for labels where there aren't as many ingredients on the list. So I don't know.
Okay. Here's the thing about that though, is that, and you know, if you've already found a routine that really works with your skin, like that's fantastic, but I'm sure that you went through a lot of growing pains in order to find that perfect routine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because that's the thing is that like, clean skincare is mostly a scam. What I'm looking for mostly is well-made skincare. Like I want skincare that is like very safely made in a lab with the most scientific innovations behind it, regardless of what the ingredients are. Like they can still be plant-based. They can still be like, you know, like made out of fairy dew and stuff like that. But it's a world of difference between made by chemists and made by somebody in their kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Well, and have you seen those Amazon exposés on like the beauty products you buy off of Amazon?
Oh my God, they're terrible. Like seriously, people, don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh my gosh. And you think you're getting a really great deal on that Urban Decay, whatever. And it turns out it's coming from this like really nasty little like hut somewhere in a faraway place. It's like, oh no.
Right. And like, when you work at a spa, like, you're not using anything from drugstores. You're not using anything from Sephora. You're using professional products that can only be sold in a spa. And if you see them being sold on Amazon, you can pretty much be guaranteed that somebody just filled up the bottle with Dove and that you're not getting the right thing.
Well, but some of the stores do sell through Amazon. You just have to go and really track like who's the seller of this item.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that is where it definitely can get sketchy. But I'm just going to throw out like some names because people have never even heard of these brands, even though they're really, really good and they can be very affordable. SkinScript, incredibly affordable line, almost drugstore brand. Circadia, that's named after like the circadian rhythms of like nature. And it's also very plant-based, also very scientifically blended, and middle-of-the-road prices. And then I work with Lyra Clinical, which is amazing. Like, what's great about these is that even if they're expensive, if they're Sephora level, like, you still get your money's worth because they do what they say they're going to do. You don't have to guess. Like if you're very like, you know, extremely sensitive, look into Hale and Hush. Like that's made for people who have skin sensitivities due to even like autoimmune diseases or diabetes or cancer. Like if you have ever like gone through oncology, then you should definitely look into Hale and Hush. It is a really fantastic line. Rhonda Allison is like going to hit all of the marks for somebody who is like, oh, I want everything natural. I want everything chemical free. Like you can still get that and still have it be very well made and have it do what it says it's going to do without you having to break out a bunch of times before you finally find the right one. End esthetician rant. Mic drop.
Well, and yeah, you've been working with these things for years. You know, I'm like just kind of like speaking from personal experience. I'm going to definitely have to try out some of those brands though. I've been using like Juice Beauty, which is for some of their products are actually pretty good. I don't use their whole line, but
and I'm not going to like knock stuff that's like, you know, sold at Sephora or anything. And again, like Juice Beauty, again, okay, that's made in a lab. That is good. I mean, I get sometimes clients where they're just like, oh, I'm just all natural. I just like, you know, like rub a lemon on my face. And,
oh, no.
Yeah. And then follow it up with some coconut oil.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, that hurts.
Yeah.
That hurts bad. And yeah, there are some things.
There's something to be said about being too natural. Oh my God. And that is exactly where I'm coming from when I'm like, ugh, new age crap. Because those are the people where they're just like, oh yeah, like just go like rub a lemon on your face and go get a colonic. You'll be great.
Oh gosh. Yeah. And the whole like, what is it? The detox.
God, like, yeah, like the detox. The whole detox culture, it's just such a scam. Like, your liver detoxes for you. That's its job. If it's not doing its job, then you go see a doctor because that's a problem.
Yeah, you're probably drinking too much.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And yes, I'm like, we can always like stand to eat more fruits and vegetables, but I mean, you also just don't want to, just don't starve yourself. Like, seriously, people, no. Like, eat your fruits and vegetables, but just don't starve yourself.
Well, and don't feel like you have to spend like hundreds of dollars or thousands for like these weird procedures or like detox, like packs or things like that, that, mm-hmm. you know, just really kind of go intuitively with that stuff and check out with a doctor or some sort of like, you know, check out with some sort of authority before you really use stuff like that. But also I kind of noticed that there are certain things that are natural ingredients that everybody swears by, like argan oil, that just drive me insane and make me break out. And I'm very unhappy if I smear it on my face or put it in my hair or
something. Like, oils are so subjective for every person. Like, there's probably somebody out there listening to me rage against coconut oil and they're just like, but I use coconut oil and it's the best thing I ever did. You know, like, okay, yes, fine, great, good for you. Every skin is different. Like, for me, yeah. The only oil that works is squalane because it's light enough that it doesn't break me out. But any other oil I've ever tried has given me the worst breakouts of my life.
Yeah, I try to steer away from oil at all, like I at all costs. But so it definitely kind of like know your body. Don't feel like you have to, you know, get on the bandwagon of every like essence and oil and everything out there. But also just kind of keep in mind that it is time to kind of lighten up your routine as far as skincare and makeup, and you don't want to be slathering on like a big full face of like foundation and stuff if you can help it either. So
I mean, not like we've been doing that.
Well, if you're on Zoom meetings, maybe.
I miss it.
there's levels, but so aside from, because I actually, I'm going to wrap up with this cute little Huffington Post kind of ritual thing, but I will do that last. One of the things, not intending to go back, I'm kind of skipping all over the place. One of the things that is extremely helpful, I think, and pretty simple, is it's a rune that you can kind of carve into a candle and let it burn with like the intention of like anything you want to manifest or grow in your life. You could also kind of, you know, write it on your skin somewhere. You could wear it as a piece of jewelry, but Burkano or Burkana, I've kind of seen it written both ways. And I think there's also another, like, there's a couple different pronunciations for this, but it basically is a rune associated with fertility, birth, renewal, and growth. And it looks like the letter B, only it's like two triangles stuck together, kind of, if you can imagine that, shaped like a letter B. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's just a very easy, kind of convenient thing. You can do it in a bunch of different mediums if you want to kind of do something like that on your altar. You could even make it out of flowers and kind of put it on your altar and have kind of a double whammy of fertility things. But, and speaking of flowers, there are time to kind of bring in more floral scents and also kind of citrus and mint and that sort of thing to just kind of like cleanse the energy, get the energy like revved up. And I found this thing on, it was some like obscure flower club that posted the top 5 best smelling spring flowers.
Science.
I was so cute. But anyways, it's the Riverside Flower Club. I don't know where they are. It says, let's see. I don't know if there's something at the bottom. California. Oh, okay. Very cute. But they have their top 5 best smelling spring flowers. Say that five times fast. Number one, frangipani. Am I saying that right? Frangipani.
Frangipani.
Thank you.
I might be wrong. Lays. I might be wrong.
We're gonna have to like do the Google Translator series. Yeah. Like, how to say this? Hawaiian lays. Just think about the flowers and those. That is
Ooh,
that.
Pretty. Oh, I want to go to Hawaii right now.
Yeah. Sorry about that. the hyacinth, and they have a particular type. City of Harlem, H-A-A-R-L-E-M.
Ooh.
Is supposed to be extremely nice smelling this time of year. The third one is wisteria. So, and that was that the one from Desperate Housewives, Wisteria Lane?
Oh, yes, you're right. I never watched that show, but I still know Wisteria Lane.
But there's so much murder and intrigue. You really should try it out sometime. All right. And then let's see, what was the, I lost my, I got onto the, Mojito watermelon popsicle page. Sorry. The next one is gardenias, which, you know, I've heard about those over the years, so that's not a surprise. And jasmines, which I don't know. How do you feel? Are you a yay or nay on the jasmines?
I'm a nay. I feel like I would like to be a jasmine person, but I'm just not.
I know. I smell them and I'm like, yes, jasmine. It's a very jasminey smell. Although weirdly, I like jasmine green iced tea. There's a place that's a town over that specializes in like this jasmine green iced tea. That's just amazing.
That does sound amazing.
I don't normally eat or drink flowers, but for some reason, well, I guess I do. I take that back. There's a lot of teas with a bunch of flowers in them. So I'm just completely just lying. I drink a lot of flowers.
Like ignore your flowers.
I'm going to shut up and drink my flowers now. And then I found, and this, we might be jumping the gun a little bit, but depending on where you're at in the nation, I don't know when the dandelions are going to hit. But there was a different things you can do. 10 ways to use dandelions in witchcraft. Ooh. So I thought that would be kind of nice to kind of give a heads up now because we're just starting the season. Use them in sun magic. Include them in creativity and inspiration spells. I don't know exactly when they hit though. Like, is that more a May thing?
I'm not sure. Maybe April. I mean, it's just one of dandelions, they just sneak up on you. Like all of a sudden, one day you walk outside and they're all out.
Yeah, that's kind of how they work. Although you can eat them, can't you? And you can make them.
Oh, yeah, they're
wine.
Very healthy.
Yeah. You can press them into your book of shadows. You can add them to your kitchen witch recipes. Add them to little wildflower bouquets for the woodland spirits. Okay, that's just adorable.
That is adorable.
I need to leave some things out for the woodland spirits. I think I've been like not giving them enough attention. Okay, use them in spells for bravery and courage. And the word dandelion actually comes from the French word dent de lion, meaning tooth of the lion. So use them in mojo bags for confidence, bravery, or courage. That one's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And that actually reminds me of sunflowers, which they wore on like their armor or protective gear or something. I think even in like the Mayan or Aztec cultures, but they are another one for like courage and bravery. And they're the dandelions and sunflowers are kind of a similar look, only one's much smaller than the other.
Yeah, one's much smaller and people are allergic to them.
And they blow annoyingly. Okay, we're going to think about the good of the dandelions.
Yeah, when they're like little and yellow. Yeah, they feed the honeybees. They're one of the first things that feed the bees. So don't get rid of the dandelions until they are like until they're like turn into ragweed basically.
Make sure to feed the bees, very important. Also include in wishing spells. I think that's actually pretty cute cuz it's blowing on them.
Oh yeah, like I would do that all the time when I was a kid. I probably drove my mom crazy.
Yeah, who hasn't? It just can't stay away from those things. I don't know. They're adorable. Make a divination tea.
How do we do that?
Boil dandelion leaves and roots into tea and drink it before reading tarot or other divination practices for keen insight and clarity.
Yeah.
I like that idea. I don't know what dandelions taste like, though. I'm going to make you do it first.
Oh, I've tasted dandelions. I mean, I haven't, like, picked dandelions outside and eaten them. Like, I mean, I've gotten like, dandelion greens from, like, CSA boxes and stuff like that. And they're bitter and almost spicy.
Okay, so it's like kind of maybe that cougar energy?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I feel like they're actually pretty delicious in a salad, but in a tea, I feel like you'd need a lot of honey.
Okay, that will be something. I will make a note of that for my file. all right, pile them on your Beltane altar. So that is not till May, but Beltane, keep that in mind.
A really easy thing to do for an altar. Just like pick a bunch of dandelions. Okay, done and done.
Yeah, really. Well, and so the spring flowers, like, I don't know, it's driving me crazy what they're called, but the first flower aside from like tulips and hyacinths, I think. So if you come across those and they start blooming, definitely put those on your altar, but also those little tiny blue flowers that grow in people's lawns. Like in my neighborhood, there's a ton of them. And there's more than two types, but the ones that are predominant by us are like blue, almost purple, and then like a white with a tinge of blue. And I have the white with tinge of blue, like over part of my yard, but I really want the blue or purpley ones, and I'm trying to find some way to, I don't even know what they're called though. So it's hard for me to like buy some and plant them if I don't know what they are. I got to figure that out.
You have to just go to the garden store and be like, okay, like maybe bring the white flower with you and be like this, except blue.
Oh, yeah, that's what I did. Thank you. Yes, that's what I need to do. But anyways, so you could take those and put them on your altar. You know, anything that's going to be blooming shortly. Also, ooh, this is a good one. Drive out dark energy or spirits. Bring a bouquet of dandelions into the home to dispel dark thoughts and negative spiritual energy. I'm going to have to remember that one. That could be useful for, you know, a good amount of months.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, yeah, because whenever you bring home a bouquet of flowers, they make you happy every time you see them.
That is true. But I mean, a bouquet of dandelions would be kind of small.
But, but if you put them into a teeny tiny little vase, and it would be so cute.
It would be adorable. And then you'd please the woodland spirits as well.
Yes. Win-win.
Win-win. And so anyways, there was like one other one. Oh, ring spell candles with them. Arrange dandelions around the base of an altar or spell candle to welcome happiness and playful joy into your circle. So there's that. Or you could also, I guess, tie them around a bell and go through your house and ring the bell, because we talked about that last week with the feng shui, but kind of wake up the chi, wake up the energy in your space.
Yeah, so get some dandelion energy in there.
That would be just dandy. Oh my God, I went there.
Someone had to.
And these ideas with dandelions are courtesy of Moody Moons. There is a post about 10 ways to use dandelions in witchcraft. So definitely check that out. I'll see if I can put that on the show page, but lots of things to do with flowers. And you can even, another thing off the list, you can go outside and take a hike through nature and look at pretty flowers. So that's another thing you can do to kind of.
It's a time of year to go walking with children in nature.
Yes. Yeah. Or bunnies.
I would rather walk with bunnies in nature.
Take your dogs. Find any random pet or animal.
Yeah. Not your cat though. My cat would not appreciate that.
Oh my gosh.
But you can go outside and pet all of the outdoor cats.
Okay. I'm going to give a shout out to this has been a really bad pandemic. I lost my dog, Gabriel, in July. So 6 months ago now, more. I don't even know anymore. It's all running together. 8 months ago, I can't do math. And he was my angel puppy, and I was kind of grieving him for a long time. And then I lost my cat, Joey, who was 16, and that was in February. And then my cat, Tony, who I had had for 12 years, and then my sister lovingly took on in her house because Tony wasn't getting along with my second dog. I just went to help my sister put Tony down last week, and I've been grieving him. And so it's just like, come on, universe. Like, really. I'm just like really kind of sad about cats right now. I feel like I've lost my familiar. I need a new familiar. And I can't even get the fix by visiting my sister's house because now Tony's passed on. And so they say those kinds of things happen in threes. And after the first two, I was like, oh no. Like the morning of, you know, that happening, I was like, oh no, who's going to go next? Mm-hmm. And it was just a really weird thought that just kind of like passed through my head. And then later on in the day, I got contacted like, you know, this is happening. And I was like so horrified and upset, but Tony actually was older than Joey. So Tony was 18, but,
Yeah. But I mean, my pup was 18 and Bowie is 18 now. And it turns 19 in June because he's a Cancer. Oh. So, but yeah, so we're getting him there. Like, we will get him there.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. We're going to send lots of, see, that's something you can manifest with these spring rituals, is just health for the pets you care about, for the people you care about, for anybody close to you in your life. I think that's a really wonderful thing because you're all, you know, you're thinking green energy, you're thinking growing and just healthy vibes.
Yeah, seriously, this is like a really good year to manifest the healthy vibes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and also I think this is a great time to again reiterate the spheres of protection, just kind of maybe right now, especially a green kind of sphere around you of light, that healing green energy would be a wonderful thing. So, and we have one more thing. We're actually doing better. See, baby steps.
Yeah, look at us.
On time. We have two more things to cover. One of them is very short. It is have a lot of sex, you know, like the bunnies.
Done and done.
Now is not the time to cheap out in that department. Because, you know, and we were talking about this with the sex and the law of attraction episode, but just the manifesting with the sex magic, that's something to kind of think about, especially with the spring equinox, is maybe have a nice little rumble in the sheets with some intention.
Exactly. Bring some intention into it.
Yeah. Like, you know, whether you shout it out or not. Write it on your arm, do whatever you have to do about what you want to manifest, but you know, just kind of whatever. But
even if it's like been a while, like this is a good time of year to rekindle things, because like, again, coming out of the dark, like we've all just been like huddling under electric blankets for like however long, and then like that first warm day of the year, all of a sudden it's just this instant mood lift. You go outside, everybody's saying hi to each other, like you're wearing, like you're not bundled up under a pile of sweats and hoodies, and just right there and then, that's sexy. So the sexiness quotient is through the roof right now. So it's just a good time to just be like, okay, I know it's been a while, let's not even talk about that, let's just get it on.
Yes, definitely the time for that. I feel like I should make some sort of pun, and I'm not coming up with anything.
You're punless.
I am punless. But anyways, so the last thing was something from the Huffington Post, seven rituals for spring or something. One of them, though, kind of really struck a chord with me. So I'm going to kind of read it, but you can, I'll post a link for that as well. But basically the next morning you rise with the sun, you say hello and thank you. Now, okay. Take some brave people to rise with the sun. I mean, that sun gets up pretty early. Just saying.
I guess that, like, okay, you can get up with the sun, you can do the ritual, and then you can go back to bed. Like, nobody says that you can't just go back to bed afterwards.
You're not forced to drink coffee after this. You can get go back into bed, hide. But anyways, so the next morning you rise with the sun. You say hello and thank you. And if you can, rise with the sun intentionally once a week to feel gratitude for your life and just kind of take time to reflect for all that the sun brings to you and basically all of life, the food, the animals, the ecosystem, warmth, light, just everything good. And just kind of like let that, it's a good gratitude meditation. And that's something that we should be practicing in some way, shape or form all the time. Anyways, it definitely helps up your vibration by being grateful for the things in your life, because how can you attract anything else if you're not happy with the things that you have?
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. So
in theory, I feel like I would actually like to do that. Like, I mean, I live really close to the lake, like maybe, yeah, just like one morning, just like wake up really early with Virgo Lad and like, you know, take some coffee to go and like go by the lake and watch the sunrise. I feel like that would be such a peaceful and lovely thing, but I know I'm not going to do it. I'm not. I would imagine like setting the alarm and it would go off and I would be like, what was I thinking? And I would shut it off and we would go back to sleep.
Like, oh my gosh.
The only way I am going to have that moment is if I didn't go to bed the night before.
I do have good intentions with all that. I think I could probably make myself do it once a week. I don't think I could do it more than once a week, but I definitely am not. I mean, there are some people, I really wish I was a morning person. I think that I would get a lot more done maybe if I were a morning person. It seems like when you have your energy at the beginning of the day, you just like crank through everything. Mm-hmm. And night owls, I think, are more kind of the creative sorts where they need to kind of like dwell on what they're thinking about. And like everything has to kind of just, I don't know, come together in its own organic way.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, you know, I used to like go to work and I like be strolling in like just about growly, like with my coffee, like roar. And then my coworker would come in with a big batch of like cookies that she made, and she would start talking about how she'd already like been to the post office and she cut up vegetables and she put everything in her slow cooker for like when she gets home like later that night, and she already like cleaned her entire place. I'm just like, I know, right?
Wow.
I was like, this is what morning people can do. Oh. I cannot.
Seriously, how did I not win that lottery? My goodness. Those morning people. I am actually the absolute worst. I can be a night owl, but I'm sadly more, oh my God, what do they even call it? An afternoon prairie dog?
Yeah, I'm an afternoon prairie dog too. I mean, I did learn that last year, again, during the pandemic, during the lockdown, that given like free range, then yeah, I can like be up until 2 and then sleep until 10 in the morning. But like, I don't get anything done. Like, sometimes I hear about the night owls where like, yeah, they're super creative and they're like, they clean their entire apartment at 3 a.m. Like, that's the flip side of the whole thing. Ugh. Like, I can get you done in the afternoon. And then in the evening, I want to just relax, just like, yeah, like just have my cocktail or whatever, or other things that are legal in Illinois right now, and yeah, just chill.
I have a good solid 4 or 5 hours worth of productivity over the course of a day, starting at like 1.
Yep. Yep. Same.
Everything in the morning, like I get up early, but it's like, half of that time is spent like trying to rein my brain like in like, okay, wake up. It's time to be awake. It's time to be productive. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, all right, I've got my coffee. I've got, you know, I'm going to be writing. I'm going to be working on these things. I'm productive. And then, you know, I do have some productivity after the coffee. It's like, I have a good whatever they say, like 45 minutes to an hour and a half, and I'm cranking away and everything. And then all of a sudden I just like hit this zone where I'm like, I don't know what I'm thinking. Oh no. But then afternoon hits and it's like, all right, I'm in my groove. Like, and they say that the best time to work out is in the afternoon, like around 4 or 5 p.m. because your muscles are all warmed up. And that's like my sweet spot for working out. Like, I feel like I'm really like in the groove of the afternoon prairie dog.
Yeah. And that's the thing when, you know, like you have to a job that you can't do from home. Like, so I get nothing done in the morning. I go to work, I come home and like, well, I'll make dinner. Like that's a thing, but then I don't do anything else. So that means just the place is like, you know, gone to hell until like my next day off. And then that's when I just cleaned up everything in one big batch.
Oh my. Well, I mean, and there've been a lot of times where I've had jobs where, you know, you get up and you get there early and you do whatever. And, but I always kind of felt like I had to psych myself up for it. Like, put your game face on, get that coffee. Like I'd wake up at like 5:30 in the morning so I could make sure that I had coffee in my system before I actually made it to work so that I could like look like a normal person.
Oh yeah. The jobs that start really early in the morning for me are always the worst jobs that I've ever had.
It definitely changes things. And then, you know, there were a couple offices that I worked in where it was like, I would kind of get in there and I wouldn't drink my coffee till I was at work. And so there'd be people though, like madly typing away, and some people would like change their shifts so they could get there even earlier. And I'd talk to them and they'd be like, yeah, I've been here since like 6 a.m. And I'm like, oh my.
Yeah. One of the spas that I worked at, like they had different shifts and the early shift was like 8 to 2. And they would want you to get there even earlier than 8 because you would have to set up. And like everybody else would be like, oh, like this is the best shift because then you have the entire day. And I was like, all I do with the day is I go home and then I take a nap and then I'm groggy and cranky for the rest of the day. So what's the point?
So maybe like with this equinox stuff, like, you know, work on your rituals at the time of day that you kind of feel your best. Like this wake up with the sun thing, if it works for you, that's great. You can also watch a sunset, I suppose. Yeah. You could just sit out in the sun, like, you know, around like midday and have it beat down on you and just kind of take it in. You know, that's a way to kind of get the good energy and manifest. So I think that, you know, whatever your comfort level is, it should be like nature should work with your groove in order to like make the best possible kind of manifesting cocktail.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Work with your body and your own circadian rhythms, not against them.
Yeah. It's never good for anyone.
It really isn't.
The public service. Well, then. All right.
Right. If we have any listeners who would like to reach out, maybe take a vote, maybe suggest some subjects you would like to hear from us, we would love to hear from you.
Definitely. Also remember to, for any like, you know, up-to-date information about the podcast or links to the live shows or things like that, you know, you can follow me on Twitter at @chick_mystic and Virgo Lass.
At Lass Virgo.
No underscore. You can also follow the show on Podbean and find me on Facebook. I have a Mystic Chick Facebook page.
Yeah, and obviously wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's Apple or Spotify or iHeartRadio or anything, and if you could leave us a rating and a review, we would be eternally grateful because that is how we are going to get more listeners like you listening to us.
So much fun. Yes. Share with your friends.
Yes, exactly.
Good times. I'm going to work on my little egg manifesting, like, you know, wonderful things for the podcast.
We'll see if I actually do that. But I will be ordering my little seeds and maybe one of them will be dedicated to the podcast and I will watch it grow.
Oh, that's so sweet. All right. Well, then, I hope everybody out there has a wonderful rest of their night and a wonderful week, and that you all have a beautiful, productive, manifesty spring equinox. And until next week, everyone out there, stay mystical.
Good night, my witches.